From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Nguyen announcing show number 401, Sony, North Korea, and Cyber Warfare, with guest Troy Hunt. Recorded Monday, December 22nd, 2014. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. And it's the end of the year. We publish this on December 31st, so I thought I'd bring back a favorite. Troy Hunt is a Microsoft Most Valuable Professional for Developer Security with a strong focus on security in a web-connected world. He's the author of many top-rated Pluralsight courses on security, a frequent international speaker, blogger, and trainer helping developers build more secure software across an ever-increasing array of internet-connected things. And one of my favorites for just making me think I really am not secure enough.
That's certainly how we feel at the moment, isn't it?
Wow.
It couldn't get much worse than this. Crikey.
Well, and it's just, you haven't, it's not like I want you on the show every week either, Troy, but it's just the stuff that's happened since we last talked, which was only the fall, you know, it wasn't that long ago. And
I know. And you just never see it coming, do you?
No.
You know, I mean, you don't, like, we know that there are going to be issues, but something of a scale that turns into, quote unquote, cyber war is, how do you even pick that?
Do you really want to say that? Do you think this is what's going on now? If we're talking about the Sony event. Is it cyber war? Really? Do you buy into this idea that this is a state sponsored attack on a multinational?
It just doesn't reconcile to me, to be honest. And it doesn't reconcile for a number of reasons. And you look, right from the outset, all the indicators were very much sort of hacktivist. I mean, you don't have state actors going and owning a company and then putting skulls and crossbones and kid-like messages on screens.
Right.
You know, that is just not consistent.
When I think about a state-sponsored hack, I think Stuxnet.
Yeah.
Where still nobody's sure exactly who did it.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, this is like the government MO, right? Like,
right.
Go in there as quiet as possible, exfiltrate as much as you can, conceal yourself, make sure that you've got as long a possible presence as you can in the target. This was just the opposite of that in so many ways.
Yeah, it looks a lot like hacktivism.
It does. And, you know, that's how it really looked from the outset, and particularly the paste bin entries, the dumping of public data, all of that is very hacktivism.
Yeah.
But then we also start to see these signs where we go, hang on a moment, like, this is a little bit more sophisticated than a 17-year-old in his basement, right? So, you know, now we're starting to say, okay, well, there might have actually been some relatively sophisticated malware in there. And that starts to move beyond just script kiddies.
And into something a little more serious. Now, I mean, I think most people listening to this are going to know that the hack took place. Can you give us any specifics about the hack? I heard there was an administrator's password involved.
Well, look, I mean, what we know, I guess, chronologically, is back in sometime in November. So I think we must have been about a month ago. So towards late November, we saw this event where, hey, Sony's reportedly have all their machines have these skulls and crossbones and things on machines. So this is not, look, their website has been compromised. This is their internal network has these things on machines. And from there was the usual sort of chest beating about, look, all this material has been leaked. And then consequently, we've had, I think we're up to about 8 or 9 different separate leaks of tens of gigabytes each of internal data.
Right.
And that, I guess that's sort of how it's unfolded, and everything's gotten worse from there.
Yeah, without a doubt. But the FBI has come out and said they've traced it to Korea to North Korea.
Well, that's what makes it kind of weird, and that's where you go, you know, we'd sort of said, all right, looks very hacktivist, and then, hey, they've actually got a whole lot of stuff with some pretty sophisticated means. Maybe this is more sort of a criminal operation, although
right.
they are actually disclosing things. And then you start to get into the government/state-sponsored realm where you've actually got the FBI and even Obama saying, hey, you know, these guys have, executed this attack. And it is a very, very bizarre thing. And you would think that you're not going to have those messages from people in those positions unless they were really confident that they had something to do with it.
A pretty credible source. And one does not go around accusing governments, even the crazy that is North Korea, of this sort of thing unless you're pretty sure. You would hope.
And that's kind of the scary thing, isn't it? Because we know that they are so crazy, at least in our Western view and the assumptions that we draw from our media, which inevitably are going to be biased. But it is almost sort of credible to think that they would be crazy enough to do it. But it's still crazy, whichever way you look at it.
So the other part of this is it could easily have been hackers coming from North Korea, but not necessarily having anything to do with government.
Well, that's always the thing, isn't it? Now, of course, the exception there is that there aren't a whole lot of people in North Korea that actually have access to internet and don't have anything to do with government. In fact, I just noticed this morning, the last few hours, they say North Korea's internet has pretty much gone off the air.
Yes.
All 1,024 IP addresses.
And I did see that Anonymous popped up. Yelled at Sony saying, we hacked you long ago and told you how to fix it. Why didn't you deal with it? And then said, hang on, there's going to be a Christmas present for everybody, courtesy North Korea. So maybe it's Anonymous doing it.
I'm sorry, guys. But this is the thing, because this ability to be so anonymous and to so randomly pump out messages is just making the whole thing worse and worse. I mean, I'm looking at Pastebin again, just in the last probably 20 minutes, and there's a message on there from Anonymous, and we know it's Anonymous because it's signed off by Anonymous. and they're sending a threat to Kim Jong-un saying, you know, you've gone and hacked this American company and impacted American jobs, you know, that this is it, it's game on, we're going to hack you back. Now, I don't know exactly what they're going to hack in North Korea out of those 1,024 IP addresses, but they are going to hack them.
Well, and now we get into, I think, a whole other aspect of security that is really kind of fundamental. I have often, when talking in this area, said, look, it's like getting a club for your steering wheel, right? The red bar that locks in your steering wheel. It doesn't make your car impossible to steal. It makes it less convenient than the next car. So somebody who just wants a car won't choose your car. But if somebody wants your car, the club doesn't matter. They will get your car. And I think what's interesting, the big debate here really is, was Sony actually specifically targeted, or was it a target of opportunity that they've now wrapped in all these other things, you know, arguably to obfuscate the goals?
Yeah, and that's the thing. And you kind of think that no matter how unhinged a government may be, the publication of a movie would not be reason to go down a path which may lead to something that constitutes war. I mean, who knows where this will go yet? Now, if they were a convenient target and it serves a greater agenda, perhaps one that's not the one that's hitting the headlines at the moment, then maybe that was that's where this has come from.
Right.
So maybe Sony has been the organization without the club lock.
Yeah, that they were an easy mark. And Anonymous implied that in their latest round of commentary, that they were actually an easy mark.
Well, and this is the other thing that's kind of so bizarre about this, because we go back to 2011 and Sony, and to be clear, we keep saying Sony as if it's the one thing. And back in 2011, it was Sony PlayStation Network that got hammered really severely, who is a separate entity to Sony Pictures, who also got hammered in 2011. They had a SQL injection vulnerability on one of their websites. So Sony have well and truly been down this path before in their various different organizational units.
Yes.
And to then turn around 3 years later and A, be hacked, and I mean, let's be fair, it doesn't matter how good your security is, these things can still happen. But B, the gravity of the security shortcuts that were taken to be disclosed for the world to see, putting all your passwords in a folder called passwords, for one, you know, and many, many, many other things.
Although, if that's actually true?
Well, I've seen screen grabs of the dump. So apparently this was in the dump. But, you know, even if it wasn't that, just the volume and the nature of the data and the breadth of the material in there, and even things like the contents of emails that were sent between people that should just never have been sent in the first place.
Right.
you know, that shows just a fundamental lack of understanding of how to secure these things.
And Sony Pictures, the victim in this case, is an American company. This has really not got a lot to do with Japan.
No. It's a very separate entity. And there's been so much commentary on this whole thing. But one of them was around the fact that, look, this is why Japan isn't that interested, because, hey, it's an American company that's been owned. It's got a Japanese name, right. But it's an American company.
But it is actually an American company. And somebody was asking me, like, why aren't there laws in place? Or why is no one pressing against this? And my thought was, it'd be most likely the Americans that would initiate such a thing. And I don't think they want them, because they're awfully good at this too.
Yeah. And this is the thing, isn't it? And we go back a couple of years and the nature of the discussion was really different, but we know now that the Americans have been extremely effective at breaking into places and monitoring all sorts of things that they probably should not have been, definitely should not have been.
Right.
And, I mean, let's just be clear, it's not just them. We've had the same thing come up on British intelligence and, even down to what little cyber capability we have down here in Australia.
Right.
All the governments are in on this. We know this.
Yeah. This is a normal state of affairs for government actors to be doing various kinds of hacking. Well, not hacking, but definitely surveillance. And that's part of the reasons why I think this whole thing with Sony doesn't seem like a state actor. Although if it was going to be any state actor and it would act this weird, it'd be this country.
Well, that's possible. And I guess one of the reasons I keep having cause to sort of pause and think about it, though, is that we do get a very westernized view of North Korea.
Right.
And whilst there are certain immutable facts about the atrocities and things that have happened there in the past, the stability of the government and their view on sort of the world political stage, we have a very curated set of messages about that.
Yes.
And as crazy as they are, I just could not imagine wanting to possibly even, again, we sort of say this cyber war word again, but possibly go down that route for a movie. Now, maybe there's another motivation, and maybe it is North Korea. But it just doesn't reconcile the way it's put forward at the moment.
Now, and I'm a student of geopolitics. So the way that North Korea is generally described is fierce, weak, and crazy as a strategy, right? Like this is an approach for a country with a non-trivial set of issues to be relevant on the world stage, is to play that particular set of games. And in that sense, cyber warfare is ideally suited for a country like this. It takes very little resource, very little money to actually operate it, and it gets you on the world stage to some degree.
Yeah. That's true. And I mean, maybe that is part of a grander plan where this is just crazy enough that it actually fits that MO.
Yeah. And it is interesting. But at the same time, the right way for the rest of the world to treat someone who is fierce, crazy, and weak is to ignore them.
Yeah. That's the thing, and this is why it's also kind of odd to get the likes of Obama involved in standing up there and talking about this. I mean, you kind of think that maybe there are many, many different ways this could have been handled better.
Yes.
And of course, we're speculating based on what we know in the media, but everything from Sony pulling the picture to even Paramount pulling Team America because they don't want Team America shown in some cinemas.
Which both those things seem insane. One does not empower an extortionist who's not really been able to extort, especially when you see him coming. You know, the nice thing about hacking is, the first shot's free. After that, it's on me. And one could argue it's already on Sony. But when they're telegraphing their hand, when they're saying, we'll go after that theater, if they show it, you're like, come get us. Let's watch you go.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And, I mean, let's not lose this in case people haven't seen this part of the story, but there were threats by quote unquote guardians of peace, GOP, who are the alleged perpetrators of this hack, saying that if you show the movie, there'll be September 11 style events in cinemas.
Right.
And this is the problem, right? I mean, that is one hell of a bluff to call, because if you get that wrong and something happens, that's obviously going to be an absolute atrocity. And from the way I understand it, it was many of the picture theaters themselves said, look, we're just not going to show the movie. We can't take that risk, because if we've had any sort of warning in an event like that, and even though it might be a minute possibility, if it happens, man, it is game over for us.
Right.
So, you know, well, and that's the thing, is
the same reason a theater gets emptied for a bomb threat. Right. Like, yeah, I could see from a theater's perspective, they're following the playbook. The playbook says if you have a bomb threat, you empty the theater. This is a bomb threat.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. And of course, there's still that Aurora shooting from a couple of years ago as well, yes, which I think is still relatively fresh in people's minds. So maybe there's a little bit of sensitivity around theaters. I strongly suspect
the theaters went back, like any sensible organization, after an incident like Aurora, and reminded everybody of the procedures. You know, that these are the things that we do when we have security threats. And political consideration just isn't there. That's not their problem.
Yeah, so that's the thing. They've got a different set of priorities. But, you know, I guess the point there in terms of that chronology was that there was that threat, and inevitably they've gone, okay, you know, no one's going to show the movie. So it sounds like from Sony's perspective that their hand may have been forced. And, you know, we blame them for not showing the movie. But if it was the theaters themselves saying, look, guys, we're just not going to put it on, we're not going to put it to air, well, then what are they going to do?
Right.
Now, arguably, their communication could have been a lot better.
Well, know, and eventually Sony came out and said, we're not going to ask you to show it then, just to arguably take the heat off of the theaters themselves.
Yeah, right. You just kind of wonder if they could have deflected that criticism a little bit earlier, because at the moment, or rather initially, that the criticism was, look, Sony are pulling it, Sony have caved.
Right.
And I think that's sort of one of the really, really important things about this whole event, in that there was this act of, you know, online terrorism, if you like, where there has been an organization that appears to have caved. Now, you know, whether it's by their own free volition or their hand was forced, that the end result is what it is.
Right.
People have said, you know, if you show this, we're going to physically attack you. And they've pulled it. And that's a really, really dangerous precedent. And I've not yet seen anyone who said that was a good result to achieve. You know, it's extremely concerning, because what does this mean for future events?
Absolutely. Troy, give me one sec here to pay the bills, because Run As Radio is brought to you by Script Rock, makers of Guardrail and the fighters of Configuration Drift. Configuration Drift happens in every environment from 5 nodes to 5,000. Guardrail will find and scan the configs of every node in your environment, no matter the platform, and alert you to changes happening across machines. Give it a try for 3 months free with the coupon code RUNASRADIO, all one word, at scriptrock.com/RUNASRADIO. Now, I want to split two different things here, because I'm putting my security guy hat on. So if I'm the security guy, if I'm responsible for security at a theater, and I receive a threat, I close the theater. And if I'm the security guy at Sony, I can't I think I would do what they did, because this is about security, not about politics. As soon as you get into the politics of enabling an extortionist or enabling a terrorist like this, then it's a different conversation. But from a pure safest thing to do point of view, safety of the public point of view, you take the threat seriously.
Look, that's certainly part of it. And of course, they're taking that threat seriously for what? Because ultimately, they want to ensure the safety of patrons. They want to ensure that their ongoing viability of the organization as well. And that latter point may have even been jeopardized by that decision.
Yes.
But, of course, making the call is one thing. The way it was communicated is the other. And it always becomes a bit of a feeding frenzy, doesn't it, when these events happen, where the media is jumping over everything.
Well, and the Twitters too, right? I mean, I'm not a big fan of U.S. media at the best of times, but the Twitter doesn't help. Like, we have our own mob. Right.
Oh, yeah, we have a mob
that reacts ridiculously quickly and with very few facts most of the time.
Yeah, and I guess that is the nature of social media today, but it kind of feeds off each other, and we've certainly seen some very, very sensationalist headlines. But be that as it may, there was clearly a dearth of communication from Sony early on. You know, even in those first few days when all we know is, look, machines are offline and people are, you know, back to 1982 and using faxes instead of, you know, computers. We saw no communication from Sony, or certainly if there was, it wasn't reported. They didn't get the mind share that they needed to get early on.
Right.
And unfortunately, it just seemed to be a sort of a consistent beating up of Sony based on their reactions to the situation, where –
you know, you would have to think, probably with the benefit of hindsight, there was an opportunity there to garner quite a bit of sympathy, because they have really, probably very unfairly, copped a lot of flack out of this.
For sure, without a doubt. And yet, you know, again, the question is, are they on the front line for their action or their inaction? Is this about the movie or is this about their exploitability?
Well, I think it depends on your perspective. So clearly, if we believe what has been put forward, even by the FBI now, then the action, or rather the hacking activity, was as a result of the movie. So,
right.
You know, there's that. But in terms of the sentiment from the community, and particularly seeing the sentiment from a lot of the big names in Hollywood as well, who let's face it, have a lot of influence.
Yes.
Obviously, there has been a lot of negative press there based on their decision to pull the movie to, you know, for all intents and purposes, look like they're sort of, you know, putting their hands over their ears and singing.
Right.
And that is a real worry.
Yeah, and it sets a very bad precedent. And clearly that precedent is being walked back now as, you know, more folks have sort of rallied around them. And in some sense, I think that you could see that they needed that too, that having been the whipping boy through all of this, to actually have people come around and say, no, we've got your back. You know, you've got to go forward.
Yeah. But see, that's taken a while as well. And you kind of wonder, maybe the lesson here as well is getting community mind share very early on in an event like this.
Yes.
Is very, very important. You want to get support. And they must have had a sense very early on of just how bad this was going to be. I mean, we as a community sort of saw these messages and went, wow, they're talking it up. You know, these attackers, they're saying that there's 100 terabytes of data and there's some pretty nasty stuff. But, you know, we see this all the time. It's probably not going to be that bad. But you'd have to think that Sony had a bit of a sense of that and knew how bad it was going to get. And that, I think, was the opportunity to try and get people on side before it really started hitting the fan with all these dumps.
I mean, at the same time, Seth Rogen and the rest of the cast were still on the stump up to the day it was going to be released and the threats were made. So they really reacted slow.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And I don't think you can afford to take that luxury of time before you put something out there, because, you know, we've just touched on the media and the Twitters as well, that everybody goes so nuts so early, it does become a feeding frenzy.
Yes.
And let's face it as well, you know, Sony is not particularly on the top of everyone's Christmas list. I mean,
no.
Not only did we have the events a few years ago, the number of times the whole Sony rootkit DRM job from years ago on their CDs has come up in response to this as well. People have long memories about these
things.
And
these guys are big, pro-big media advocates in the RIAA and MPAA.
Yeah.
Like, the people have been angry at Sony for a long time. And you're right, they had a really good opportunity to get some sympathy here and have managed to squander it pretty thoroughly.
So, yeah, so we'll see what lessons are taken away from this the next time it happens.
But I've got to think, for anybody who's concerned about security in your organization, this is just another layer of wake up of, talk about security in depth, right? Obviously, a folder with passwords in it, you're hooped anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality is when you start talking about state-sponsored hacking, they're, you know, my wife asked me the question too. It's like, well, how would they break in? It's, you know, one of the easy ways is to kidnap an admin. And, you know, when you're talking about an intelligence operation, that's stuff they'll actually do. You know, the don't hack the password, beat it out of somebody with a wrench is a pretty efficient way to go.
The classic approach.
Yeah.
The mob style. And that's the thing. But I think it's also interesting when we look at this, and a number of people have said, certainly headlines have said, look, this was unavoidable. You know, you could not defend against this attack. But it's really not a bullion state, right?
No.
It's not like, look, we were going to be perfect or we were going to be owned six ways from Sunday.
Right.
There is this set of degrees. And I wrote something last week on my blog where I said, look, I think that if you look around at certain aspects within your own organization, you will see glaring risks, particularly in terms of access to information. So how many people are in organizations where you can just browse around to open folder shares on servers and find all sorts of stuff that you should have access to?
Right.
And, or rather should not have access to. And regardless of how well-intentioned you are, you have no control over the intentions of the things that may infect your machine and be able to access that content under your identity.
Yeah, compartmentalizing of privileges. The real problem here, and I've been talking about this for a while now, I think you even talked about it back in August with the previous show, is we're targeting the administrators because they have too many privileges. We don't target regular accounts anymore. There's no reason to.
And this is the problem, because having too many privileges makes things easy.
Yep.
And we are very prone to do the things that are easy. And what's really interesting is when you do see things like excessive permissions and excessive access to data, very often it is a difficult thing to change because it's a cultural thing to change. We have to change the way people work. And the powers that be will look at this and they'll say, well, there is this hypothetical risk where something may happen and it may have some sort of impact. Or there is the reality that in order to fix it, we've got to redirect time, money, people from immediate deliverables and priorities and get them to work on this hypothetical thing. What do we do? It's a hard argument to make sometimes.
Absolutely. But getting into that, I know I've talked developers, you know, in my work scaling websites into not only not having, but not wanting access to production servers, because then it could be your fault. Right. Like you want that gatekeeper. You want the lack of privilege so that there's a clear chain of command on how you get to production, that not anybody can get there. And this idea that we would have admins to start thinking the same way. What does any given account need access to? So that no one account has access to everything. And it just means you get security in depth.
Yeah, well, this is a sort of classic principle of least privilege, right? Where you give me the access I need to do my job, but nothing more.
Right.
And for me, even if I put my developer hat on, like, that is what I really like. I love using things like platform as a service models for say, websites so that I don't have the responsibility of having access to a server. Oh, man, don't give me that. The things that I could do wrong.
Right.
No, I don't want that.
Yes. And I think that's an interesting – if – Sony had been more compartmentalized in their account. Sure, they still would have had a break-in on one account, but it would have at least either limited the exposure or forced the hackers to take long enough that they could have been detected and shut down.
Yeah, that's the thing. They certainly could have done a better job of that. I think the other thing they certainly could have done a better job of is to not have some stuff. So when you look at things like racist emails between executives, you know, not having that discussion was probably a good idea. Probably not having racist email discussions in the first place is a good idea, and then not doing it on the company account is a
better idea again. Yeah, on top of that, if you've got to have not that I'm suggesting there's any place for a racist discussion, but there are certainly places where writing things down is a dumb idea.
Exactly. It's dumb on many levels. And this is where you kind of go, is there something cultural there? And inevitably, the answer is yes, given the scale of this and the fact that this is a repeat on a much larger scale of 2011. But there seems to be something culturally where they're missing this. And that I find very interesting to have these dramas again with 2011 being such recent memory.
Yeah, I got to think somebody needs to lose their job this time. You know, and I know I'm not automatically saying it's head of security. He may have been screaming from high heaven that we need to do these things and was refused. But somewhere along the line, there was a decision not to do something about this 3 years ago in a meaningful way. And here we are.
Yeah, well, I mean, who knows who's accountable for that within their organization and if it's even the same individuals or not. I have to think that out of this, many people will unfortunately lose their job one way or the other anyway, because it's going to cost them a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not just going to be the revenue loss from things like the interview and maybe there's an insurance claim or something on the books as well. But wait for the class actions from employees who've had all their data out there.
Right.
You know, that's going to hit them tens of millions, surely.
Yeah, there's going to be a whole lot of settling going on. I don't think our movie prices are going to be going down anytime soon.
Well, it depends. If they end up pushing it out for free, there's been a little bit of talk they might push it out on Crackle and everyone will get it there.
Right.
If they ever wanted to sort of reclaim a bit of community mind share, that might not be a bad way to start because – Yeah, I tell you what, as bad as this is, if ever they want a promotion for a movie, they've got a hell of a lot of it now.
Everybody wants to see the movie now, you know. You probably should get it out there in some form or another, preferably with some goodwill around it.
Well, that's it. You know, it's already rating 10 out of 10 on IMDb. So it must be good.
But coming into 2015, and this is the last day of 2014 when we're publishing this, do you think cyber warfare is just going to become the norm now? You know, is it? I suspect it's been going on for some time. I mean, we have evidence of that. The question is it accelerating? Is it just going to be public knowledge more and more?
Look, I mean, whether we call it cyber warfare or not, I'm not real keen on either of those words, to be honest. I think that these sort of events we will see more of. And inevitably, the actual quantifiable figures we have show that we're certainly having larger events than before. Yes. There's a great website, datalossdb.org, that details that the known events and how big they are and how many of these records were recorded in different events. When I last looked at it, something like 7 of the 10 largest hacks we'd had in terms of number of records had happened in the last 12 months. So that included things like Adobe and Target and some of those really big ones that are now only a year or a fraction over a year ago. And we're just seeing this so consistently. I mean, we've seen a lot of POS terminal attacks recently, Home Depot, Staples. That sort of thing. But, you know, we're also seeing just the total ownage of organizations like this, where it's just, it's almost like every digital asset they have. And that is the really worrying thing that inevitably we're going to see continue, because there's just so much more stuff out there and there's so many people that are developing the skills to get access to the information.
Right. Well, and, you know, the same way in space, they talk about Kessler syndrome, which is where one satellite collides with another, creates more debris, which more and more and more and more. I've seen the same argument made in security. It says there's now, with all of the breaches around passwords and things, the attackers are better and better and better equipped to attack more.
Yeah, look, that wouldn't surprise me, and it is that. So there's certainly a much greater range of information out there to help them with what they're doing. Mm-hmm. There's also a hell of a lot more services. Right. You know, we are connecting so many different things to so many different services. I mean, just about everything we touch these days is connected and talking to APIs and, you know, going off on a tangent into some of our other shows now, but we're getting so much stuff out there and so many ways into it that it just has to accelerate the risks, because we're not fixing them as fast as we're creating new ones.
I've also heard the line, and maybe we're going a little over time, but I don't want to let this go, that this is the incident that makes it absolutely clear that passwords are obsolete and we have to do this a different way.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've seen a lot of password breaches.
Yes. I mean, if that administrator's account required text message confirmation, you know?
So that'll be interesting to see the wash up of all this. So did it boil down to something like that? I mean, the news I've been reading today has been all about an SMB worm that's brute forced auth on different network shares.
Right.
Now, if that's the case, there may be other ways we can deal with that. I don't know that it's going to come back to just one person, though.
Right.
And I don't know if we're ever going to see any candid feedback on what it was.
No, and I mean, this is part of the problem, too, is they want to keep it secret. They don't want to admit the scope of their loss. They don't want to admit the weaknesses in their security. And it just makes the problem worse. Isn't the only way to make this get better is to be more public with what went wrong and how you can fix it?
That's the thing. I don't know that from a security perspective they can make it much worse now, man.
Right.
It has gone from skulls and crossbones on a computer to less than a month later, the president of the US standing up there talking about, and I don't think he's actually used the word, but, you know, almost act of war from a foreign state. You know, that has just escalated out of control.
Yep.
It's not going to make it worse by saying this is how it happened.
Yeah, no question. Troy, it's always terrifying to talk to you, but I appreciate you taking out some time to dig into this one. I'm sure you'll be back, because there's unfortunately always going to be more.
Who knows what, who knows when, but yep, we'll be back here.
Yep. Keep an eye on your data, change your passwords often, don't have more access than you absolutely have to have, and hope's not a strategy.
Very good start.
Thanks, Troy.
Thanks, Richard.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.